Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. Do you remember? To the angel of the church in Ephesus. And then cerebral Christians have said, no. That is not to the angel, it's to the pastor of the church in Ephesus. May God deliver us from spiritual blindness. Because there is a Greek word for pastor and there is a Greek word for angel. What is in that letter is angel. And I have a number of theories about that. Because John was in an isle. You know what an isle is? An isle is an island. It was in the Isle of Patmos when Jesus gave him those letters. And those letters were supposed to go to places. Smyrna was as far to Ephesus. That the land mass that those letters were supposed to go to was larger than Nigeria. How do you think those letters got to all those different places and got there accurately? Some of you think that, you know, the book of Hebrews says some of you have entertained angels. Some have entertained angels without knowing it. There are angels among us. But you will not know. There are some believers that will never know the ministry of angels because they are still spiritual babies. Till they die, they were believers, till they die, they will not know the ministry of angels. One of the first things you will know is that you begin to see. Okay, that's not our topic. Amen. Those are the kinds of things that Bro Yemi should be teaching us about. Yes. That is his. You, both of you. That is his place. That's the place of a prophet. Amen. If you're a believer and you don't, when the believers were praying, this is just a digression, free of charge. When the believers were praying in the book of Acts, when Peter was arrested, do you remember? They were praying. And the Bible said they were praying night and day. Today we say they were doing a prayer chain. Because this same man, Herod, arrested James. And killed James. And he saw that, the Jews were happy. He now arrested Peter. What do you think he was planning to do with Peter? To give him an appointment. So the saints say, no, enough is enough. So they did what does not ever fail. They didn't have political power. They were minority. You understand what I'm saying? They were minority in that place. You know, if it's now, we'll send the vice president. We'll do. You understand what I'm saying? But they didn't have that then. So they did one thing that cannot, because we can send vice president and it will fail. But there's something that we can do that cannot fail. It's called what? Prayer. So they continue to pray. They knew that this was a matter of divine judgment. You know, when we were teaching our prayer, I told us that there are different kinds of prayers. One of the kinds of prayers that we pray is the prayer of judgment. And it is in the prayer of judgment that Jesus was teaching us about when he said men ought always to pray and not to fail. Many outcomes you see in this life is a result of judgment. Curses, for example, are judgments. Blessings are judgments. When you want to address matters of judgment, you must, it's marathon. You enter his posture. Jesus told the story of that woman that kept pestering the judge to avenge her. There are some prayers that you pray once and go, and you worrying about it again is sign of unbelief. But when you are talking about matters of judgment, because by the time God answered the prayer of the church, we knew that it was judgment. Let me explain how the Lord answered. The first thing that happened was that, just so that you will know that their prayer was not weak and those people had spiritual eyes. When Peter was released, you know, God sent an angel to release Peter from the prison. And Peter went to the house and was knocking. When the girl, Rhoda, I think that was her name, when she saw him, and she went to tell them that Peter is at the door, someone's at the door. You know, what did they say? They say, no, it is his is his angel. So, you know, at least from there, you know that that church was not unaware of the angelic ministry, nor was it a strange thing to them. So when you find, and that was a church that in 200 years plus, they took over the known world. That generation, that thing that they were practicing. What I'm trying to tell you is that if you are participating in the kingdom of God and you are praying and you are dealing with the life of God, the things of heaven will become real to you. And one of the things that will become real to you is the angelic ministry. I'm not saying you should go about with a telescope and binoculars looking for angels. No. Just align to God and have a prayer life. And have a life that is, let your satellite dish be facing up, not facing down. Amen. And then your eyes will be open. Do you remember when you came to my place that day? You were going for an interview, and we prayed. And I said, you know what made me to know that we have, I saw an angel. So I knew that no matter what happened as a result of that, God was in control. Because there's nothing that is significant that God wants to do in your life that the devil is not also interested in. Just because God wants to do it. He may not even know what God is doing, no? Amen? Do you remember that it was the same devil that made Peter to tell Jesus not to go to the cross? Yes. That crucified Jesus? Yes. Because does that look like someone that knows what he's doing? What I'm trying to tell you is that the things of God concerning you are so hidden in God that all the devil just does is that he's a very smart being. So his job is just to ensure that part time you don't do the will of God. Because he doesn't know the big picture. So you just continue to enjoy God and just ensure that you are doing the will of God part time. Because even you too, because the Bible says that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We don't know as we ought to know. We don't know. Just ensure that at every point in time you are in the will of God. That's how to walk wisely. He said, be not unwise, but be wise, understanding the will of the Lord. Redeeming the time, because days are evil. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So when the devil is trying to, just make sure that you are in the center of God's will. Make sure. How do you discern the will of God? For you that has been renewed, that your heart has been transformed. You see, what is good, what is well pleasing, and what is perfect. Hallelujah. So, when the angels of God began to manifest, the first thing that the angel did was to remove Peter from that prison. The second thing that the angel did that was recorded was to go and kill Herod. Do you remember? And then the church enjoyed peace. They were praying prayers of judgment. Tell your neighbor, pray. I don't know how to do it without prayer. Please tell your neighbor on the other side, say pray. So I was talking about how Jesus is the high priest of the temple that is in heaven. You know, when Moses was drawing the temple, he was seeing the vision of the temple in heaven. And God said that he should make sure that what he translated on the ground was a copy of what he saw in heaven. You remember? And in order for that to be done excellently, God took a man called Bezalel and Oholiab. I think that's the other name of the other person. And the Bible says he filled them with the Spirit of God. That's the first time in the Old Testament where it says somebody was filled with the Spirit of God. Because in order for Bezalel to be able to transmit those things accurately, he needed to be operating in a frequency. And in order for you to operate in that frequency, there is a amen. It is only a Spirit-filled man that his mind can operate in the frequency of heaven. It's possible for your mind to operate in the frequency of heaven. When your mind begins to operate in the frequency of heaven, you begin to see the things that heaven wants you to see, not the things that
the world wants you to see. That's when you begin to perceive things that are beyond this realm. That's why when we want to, we say pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit. Because what you are doing when you are praying in the spirit is that you are giving expression, you are aligning your heart to the frequency of heaven. You know, when you are tuning a radio, you know, you can tune the radio to different places, but in order for the radio to be clear and be receiving a certain frequency, you have to tune it. When you pray in the spirit, you may need to pray. So, in order to tune the frequency of your spirit, some of you may need to pray for 3 hours. You are tuning. By the time you tune, you will now know that you are relating with a frequency that is beyond this place. So you can see the things that God is showing you. So God needed to fill that a Bezalel with this, so that he would transmit the things that were in that temple in heaven to the temple on the ground. We have to... Now, you notice that the things that were in the temple in heaven, first and foremost, I want you to remember that the temple in heaven is still there. And who is the high priest of the temple in heaven? Jesus Christ. Who? Can we mention his name?
Jesus.
That's the most powerful name in the universe. Some people like to call him Yeshua, Mashiach. Some people like to call him... If you are not comfortable with Jesus, call him Jesus. One of my friends, Jesus. Amen. Just, it's not about the words, it's about the person that you are referring to. Jesus. He's the high priest. The Bible refers to him as the high priest of our profession, of our confession. And that's the reason why, in order for you to be saved, you had to confess something. And somebody may be asking that, how about people that don't have the ability to speak, they are dumb. They have a way of expressing the content of their heart. It's just that for you that have tongue, the most accurate way of expressing the content of your heart is through your tongue. Now, you know why speaking in tongues help to align your heart? Amen? The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you seen that in your Bible? Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Your heart has an overflow. The Bible says that if a man, we read that last week, if a man can control his tongue, he will be able to control his life. The reason is because there is a vital link, a spiritual link between your tongue and your heart. That is why the day that the believers were filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, they spoke in tongues. So when you are speaking in tongues, you are not speaking your words. You are speaking the words of the Spirit. And by doing that, what you are also doing in effect is that you are helping your heart to you are tuning the frequency of your heart. May God help us in Jesus' name. So I gave us the assignment. Let's look at that assignment before we proceed. Where is the lamps? The shewbread, the table of shewbread. Did I ask about the lampstand?
No.
What I asked about two things. The mercy seat.
And the table of shewbread.
And table of shewbread. So where is the mercy seat?
The Holy of Holies.
The Holy of Holies. Where is the table of shewbread?
Not part of the
sanctuary.
Not part of the sanctuary.
Okay. I know you use Google. What is it? Where in the sanctuary? The sanctuary has three compartments. There is the Holy of Holies. There is the holy place, which is the middle. Then there is the outer court.
It's at the outer side of the temple.
Okay, I'm actually interested in the... So where is the table of shewbread? Is it in the outer court? Or in the Holy of Holies, or in the holy place. You know, I was telling us last week that when John saw Jesus, the Bible says he saw him in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Do you remember? Because what he saw Jesus doing his priestly ministry. And because if you saw the temple of the Old Testament, there were candlesticks there. Seven. Do you remember? And those lights were always supposed to be on. Now, the high priest we have, who is Jesus our Lord, is, you know what high priests do? Is the high priest make intercessions for the people. In the old covenant, high priest made sacrifices for the people so that they will have relationship with God. Then high priest also received gifts from the people to present to God. You couldn't go and present a gift to God directly and say, God, take. Eh? Do you understand what I'm saying? You had to give it to who? The high priest. And it's the high priest that knows how he will present it to God. May I suggest to you that we still have a high priest? Why do you think that when you pray, our fathers taught us to pray in Jesus' name? Because are we together?
Yes, sir.
Your fellowship with God is through the priestly office of Christ. Okay, we can't continue on that. Let's continue what we're saying. No, I know what I'm saying. The purpose of teaching is not to just say things. It's for people to understand. And understanding is step by step. Amen?
Yeah.
We are not ready for that yet. That is actually some of the most profound doctrines. If you notice, I was trying to explain the other day that the writer of Hebrews talked about that we should go from the elementary teachings to go into perfection. And when he began to talk about perfection, he started talking about these things. Because you need to understand. Let me tell you something. When Peter and John wanted to perform the first miracle that was recorded after Jesus' resurrection, after the day of Pentecost, that they commanded that man to stand up. How did they do it? They say it was true faith in his name. Amen. Do you remember when Peter was giving that sermon on the day of Pentecost? He talked about how that God had exalted Jesus and Jesus was now seated. And that was the reason why the Holy Spirit came. Those men understood the priestly ministry of Jesus. There are many things that you will touch, you will start touching because of your understanding of the priestly ministry of Jesus. But we'll look at that another. You see, it's not every Christian that the devil can kill. Though. Are you with me? You know, there was one pastor that died in my very unfortunate story. He died. He was traveling for, was it a wedding? And then he had an accident and died. And then the witches in his village, after some time, people prayed. The witches in the village started confessing that they were the ones that killed him. You understand my point? They started confessing that they were the ones. How many people heard stories of things that happen to believers and it is witches that are responsible? And then you begin to wonder that what is going on here? What I'm trying to explain to you is that for a believer that understands the priestly ministry of Christ, because in as much as sometimes you can sleep off, and when you were supposed to pray in tongues in the night, you were supposed to pray for 2 hours, but you prayed for 20 minutes and then you didn't know that you did not pray for 2 hours until you woke up in the morning. And the prayer that you were supposed to pray for 2 hours was to intercept something that was something strange, something smelling that was going on in the realm of the spirit. Are you understanding my point? I'm trying to explain to you that for a believer that understands, because priestly matters, understanding the high priest of Jesus is not for babies. Because remember that he was about to explain the priesthood. I was talking about Melchizedek when he said, you people are still babies. He still explains some things in the book of Hebrews, which I really look forward to when we can explain these things. Because you need to understand the order of the temple of God. Because the temple is still there in heaven. And your salvation was a result of things that happened in that temple. The Bible says that his blood, he took his blood to clean the things that were in heaven. May God help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can you help me? Do you have your phone there? Okay, we will start. Somebody, assignment for next week. Where in the Bible talks about the blood of Jesus cleaning the things that were in heaven? Because some of you do not know that when human beings were sinning on earth, It's not only the earth that was polluted. The things in heaven were also polluted. He said that the copies of the things in heaven will may be cleaned with a mop. Show me that scripture. That's the assignment. The scripture that talks about how that the copies of the things, how the things in heaven were cleaned with the blood of Jesus. Colossians. No, it's not Colossians. It's not Colossians.
Something we blotted out.
Yes, our transgression. Hallelujah. Because I'm trying to explain to you the priesthood of Jesus. Because when you, you know, when we're coming, because if you don't understand the priesthood of Jesus, you will not understand the covenants and how strong the covenants that you are in. And if you don't understand the covenants that you are in and how to walk in that, because one thing about covenants is that covenant has you have your part to play. And if it's going on between us and God, our part is really, really small compared to what God is doing. But in order for God to do his part, you have your little part to play. It's called a covenant. So when God made the covenant with Abraham, one of the tokens or the things that Abraham needed to do was, in order for the covenant to continue in his lineage physically, all his children must be circumcised. Do you remember? Amen. Because when you begin to understand the priesthood of Jesus, you begin to understand that we are actually there's a reason it is called the new covenant. You know, people in the old covenant, they knew, if even till today, you tell a Jew that, what are the things of the old covenant? They will mention the most important things. They will say things like the Passover. If you're a Jew, that's, you are practicing Judaism, and you are operating under that Mosaic covenant, you know what it entails in that covenant. And you know exactly what it is talking about. One of it is circumcision. You cannot be a Jew without being circumcised. Amen? Amen. There is the circumcision in the new covenant. But many Christians don't know what circumcision is. Another thing in that covenant is Passover. There was a practice of the Passover. In order, you cannot be a Jew without practicing the Passover. In the first month of the year, you must practice the Passover. And God even gave them certain instructions that they will dress after as if they want to travel. He said, so that when your children ask you that what is going on, you will tell them that this is how God saved our fathers in the land of Egypt. They will eat bitter herbs. They will kill a lamb, and they must finish it. If they don't finish it, there are very, very specific instructions for the Passover. And if you are practicing Judaism, and you are going to gain from the benefit of that covenant, because that covenant also has its own benefits. The Bible says we have better covenants with better promises, but that covenant also had its own promises. Read the blessing and the curses. You'll be blessed in the field and all that. That blessing is still some of the things that we still see the Jews enjoying today. Because there are blessings in that covenant. But Christians are in a higher covenant. But you don't even know what your covenant is because of spiritual ignorance. Amen?
Amen.
Then, another thing about that covenant is the Sabbath. All of this is where, you see, I'm trying to help you to enjoy reading the Bible. Even the book of Hebrews. Because even the book of Hebrews draws parallel. He said there remained a rest for those that are in Christ. So if you are a Jew, one of the terms and conditions of that covenant. Covenant is that you have your part that you will play, and then God will do the rest. Amen. It's just like many Christians call tithing covenant. So when you pay your tithe, God will rebuke the devourer. You understand? So, what you need to do, but you see, if you don't know the spirit of tithing, you will pay 10% and you don't have enough money to spend, and you will not see any devourer being rebuked. Because scripture says that the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. You see, the old covenant was a function of letters and practices and all of that. The new covenant is a function of the spirit of the word. What is the spirit of the word? Understanding what propelled that commandment. Amen? And so you need to understand the spirit of tithing. You need to understand the spirit of the Sabbath. You need to understand the spirit of circumcision. You need to understand the spirit of kosher. What's kosher? There are many things that the Jews were forbidden to eat. You need to understand the spirit of Passover. And the book of Hebrews begins to explain some of those things. But you will need to, you know, the Bible says that rightly dividing the word of truth is a function of study. Some of you don't like studying. It's okay. You know, the Bible says that study to show yourself approved. As a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly divide. You see, it's a function of study that will help you to be able to rightly, that book of Hebrews, you will bring out the covenant of circumcision. And say this is the New Testament equivalent. Do you notice that the book of Hebrews also mentioned tithe? Do you remember? May God help us in Jesus. So what was the assignment again? Show us the place in the book of Hebrews that talks about the blood of Jesus cleaning the things in the temple in heaven. Eh? I don't give it to you. No, I want us, you know, there's a reason why I want, because I just want us to read. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. We have been called to inherit the kingdom. And everything that God has written concerning you, you will fulfill. You can redeem the time that has been lost. You know what it means to redeem? Redeem means to buy back. Because you may be here now and say, God, if you say I had known the things I need to know 5 years ago, I've also prayed such prayers. You say, I would have been more victorious. I would have been more victorious. The devil wounds have taken advantage. One lady was crying. She said, if to say I know the things I know now, the devil wouldn't have been able to kill my mother. She was crying when she was in the university. She was hearing teachings like this and she just started crying. Because when you see that it is the devil that is attacking, you are a Christian, but you don't have the authority to resist the devil. Whereas there's a way you can be that you will know the devil. The devil will not hide himself. Are you to you say, oh yeah, you have no, here and you can't go further. The Bible says the righteous is as bold as a lion. She said, if I knew the things, because she knew that the devil still tried to show up in her life and she knows what happened as a result of what she understood. One warning I will just give us, is that as you begin to interact with spiritual understanding, you must be very careful not to lean on your understanding. You must also be very careful not to be puffed up. Because knowledge puffs up. And when you are, anytime that you are puffed up, it's called pride. So God will resist you so that the puff will reduce to his normal size. Then when it has reduced to its normal size, then you come then God will say, oh yeah, where did we stop? We stopped 3 years ago. Yeah, let's continue from where we stopped. But you can redeem the time. We end with that scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. you have been a Christian for 6 years. But you've just been jumping from one charismatic zoo to another. Your pastor cannot tell you the difference between righteousness and holiness. And he's a pastor. Whereas one of the qualifications of being an elder is that he must not be a novice. Ephesians chapter 5. So the destinies of many people under him has been marginalized by darkness. But they can pray. I will give you. Okay, go ahead. Continue. Thank you for raising your hand, because I need to clarify something. We have precious beloved brethren that are following this live streaming, I believe, that are members of the Celestial Church of Christ. And they are believers. I'm not referring to such people. I'm referring to those ones that you know. They know that they are babalawos wearing white garments. I'm not talking about the people that are following Jesus. And I'm not judging anybody's church. I need to make that clarification because this sermon is going to go further than here. It's already streaming live. So we have to be very careful. So that we don't make people feel like they are not wanted. Amen? And are you understanding what I'm saying? So when you find yourself in such a place and you know that the pastor is not a servant of God, he's not a man of God. Because you can find yourself in a place in which as you grow in spiritual maturity, you just discover you grow beyond your pastor. First thing I will tell you is be humble. You see, because what you need in that kind of situation is wisdom, especially if you are a worker in such a place. If you read the book of James, it talks about two kinds of wisdom. It talks about the wisdom of this world, which it refers to as being soulish or demonic. And then it also talks about the wisdom of God. Because wisdom is the way by which men accomplish goals and do things and succeed. Amen? If you find a student that is a successful student, there was a labor of wisdom that brought him there. He may not even know it, but that discipline to read every 5 o'clock for 2 hours is called wisdom. If you find a person that accomplished anything in this world, it's by wisdom that things are built. But there are two kinds of wisdom. There is one wisdom that is of this world. The Bible says it is selfish. It is proud. It is wicked. Then the Bible talks about another wisdom that is from above. And one of the things about that wisdom that is from above is that it is peaceable. Let me tell you something. If you've read 48 Laws of Power, I'm not saying you should go and read that book. I couldn't finish reading it. You read it. You will discover that there is a wisdom that book preaches. It's called the wisdom of this world, which the Bible says is demonic. That wisdom is not peaceable. If you want people to fall in line, you scatter ground. You let them know that your head is not correct. You know, that's wisdom. That's the wisdom of the world. When you, it's manipulative. It's ruthless. You see, the wisdom of God is peaceable and it is humble. The wisdom of this world is proud. You touch my ego, I will show you. The wisdom of this world will keep malice for 3 generations. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it is soulish, so it is the nature of fallen man. But it is demonic, because the nature of fallen man is satanic. But the wisdom of God is humble. So you need the wisdom of God to handle that matter. There's a way you can deploy the wisdom of this world. Even though you are born again, you can deploy the wisdom of this world. But it is wrong. When you deploy the wisdom of this world, the devil will still have leverage over you. Because the devil, you are operating in a domain that the devil, you are operating in a wisdom that the devil always has more than you. But when you are operating in the wisdom of God, you enter the economy of the wisdom of God. You are operating in a domain that even if you are foolish in that domain, the foolishness of God is better than the wisdom of the devil. So there are things that regulate the wisdom. If you want to operate in the wisdom of God, one is humility. So somebody is your pastor. He has been your pastor. He has been your father in the Lord. You now realize that there are certain things that he's doing that is not correct. You are never permitted to be disrespectful to him. Amen? Does that mean you should continue to be there and cage your soul? No. If you are somebody like you now that realize that there is a call of God upon your life, and this environment is you can't express yourself, seek permission to be relieved. Have a proper conversation. Pray about it. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Because one of the, I've told you the theoretical explanation of the wisdom of God. But let me tell you the sharpest way to walk in the wisdom of God. That's why I said we should open to Ephesians chapter 5. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is the excess but be filled with spirit. Before that, it says, be not unwise. If the Holy Spirit is telling believers to be not unwise, it's because if God says thou shalt not, if God says you should do anything, amen, it's because the natural thing that you will do is the opposite. That's why God needed to tell you that you should do it. If the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself, it's because naturally, if God didn't tell you, you will not love your neighbor. You will use your neighbor as your shoe. Are you getting my point? So when the Holy Spirit says, be not unwise, it's because the natural, for believers that are not spirit-filled and spirit-controlled, believers that are not spirit-led, the natural state of such believers is that they are not wise. For the children of this world are wiser. Have you seen that in your Bible?
Yes, sir.
In their generation, than the children of light. There is a formula to come out of that thing. Because the fact that you're a child of light does not mean that if you don't, that, do you also see in that book of James that say, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. So in order for you to be wise, because God's plan, I hope you know that it's not God's plan for his own children. The God that is the owner of all wisdom, his own children will now be foolish. Does he join? So he says, be not unwise, but be ye wise, understanding the will of the Lord. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. You cannot understand the will of, let me tell you, explain what it means to understand the will of God. As I'm here now, I want to go home, but I also want to go to the market. And there are two decisions that I don't know which will be wisest. Understanding the will of God is that because I am walking in the Spirit, I will know what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. I will know His will. And I'll walk in it. Amen? So, doing the one that the Holy Spirit is leading me to do is always the wise. When I'm doing that, I'm walking in wisdom. At the end of the day, wisdom is known by her children. It will be evident that I was very wise. And it was not as if I was doing calculations or just because I was a very good listener and I was obeying him. So I will now operate in a level of wisdom by the Spirit of God that the Bible says that through us, the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made manifest, will be made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Demons. No, demons. Principalities and powers are not just demons. I will teach us about that. Because you say principalities and powers where? In heavenly places. There are evil spirits, unclean spirits that move around like flies. They follow iniquity. I just give you an expo. There's a reason why they are called unclean spirits. They call Jesus Beelzebub, Prince, God, Lord of demons. Actually, the literal translation is Lord of the flies. Because demons operate like flies. And there are many. You know, see, if you want to know if flies are in, you know, there's no fly here. Because this place is clean. Let a child come and poo-poo here. In a matter of minutes, you will know that there are flies. They will locate this place. That's how unclean spirits are. So you want unclean spirits to... And many diseases are caused by unclean spirits. They are spirits of infirmities. They are unclean spirits. You want to be free of unclean spirits and stay free. Because somebody can come now and say, hey, hey, hey! And drive the fly away, they will go. But when the person goes, what will happen? They will come back. You want to be free, stay free from unclean spirits. Identify the iniquity that is attracting them. And remove it. Clean it out. So, but we're not even talking about those ones. We are talking about the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Those are the devil's colleagues. Satan. You know, Lucifer was an angel. He had colleagues that rebelled with him. Those ones are the barbarians. They are the barbarians in that kingdom. You will live. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the devil is not a joke. He knows what he's doing. He has his own wisdom. But when you walk in the spirit, you will operate in such a way that the demons will be looking at you and say, hey? Because the Bible says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God
will be made known to the principalities and powers. So when the devil set traps, say, let us see the way he will fulfill this destiny that. Shebi will say, Jesus is our example. Shebi, you are king of the Jews. You will come and rule. You will take over the government of this world. Shebi, I offer to you free of charge. The only condition is that you worship me, you refuse. Let us see the road you will rule this world when you will die on the cross. And they were doing it, and they were rejoicing. By the time God was through with them, it was their biggest mistake. The Bible says, if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. That is how the wisdom of God operates. When they saw in the realm of the spirit that Joseph was a star, and that there's something that God will do through Joseph that will save the lineage of Israel. That was a lineage that God was going to use to ultimately reveal the Christ. They say, okay, use his brothers. Say, now that you are a slave, let us see the road that you follow to be our Oga. Because they thought that maybe because Joseph's father liked him, gave him his coat of many colors, one day Joseph will become the leader of the family and all of that. But at the end of the day, do you see the way God did it?
Yes.
Child of God, let me tell you, if you are in Christ, just make sure that you subscribe to the wisdom of God. No matter what the devil does against you, even the time that you have lost, the things that the devil did could do to you because of your mistake. That's why I say redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. You can buy back the time. If you wake up, if today now, you make up your mind that from today, I will live a spirit-filled life. The force that controls me is not my flesh. It's not, I no longer live by sight. I live by faith. I operate by the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are sometimes that you will do things that don't make any sense even to you. But you know that it is the Holy Spirit that said, don't go out today. You see, if you will live like that and you will choose to start living like that, the time that you may have lost for 20 years, you will buy it back. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He said, be filled with the Spirit, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. If you know how evil the days are, the configuration of these days is to ensure that you waste time. Let us pray. Lord, help us. Help us. Ashalabasolo bole dikete masune indanai. Demanche le boso bolana into senia tete ba. Empire no sobole indekete baso balane indete boso bai. Majala de kabo sobole indete tete boso sobolate ne suna ne kapani ano sunai. Ask the Lord to help you. Mashalabaleke tete tete boso balane kabaso mai. It says, we are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Who is them that we overcome? It is he that is in the world. Who is he that is in the world? He's called the prince of this world. Hey, we can walk in victory. We can overcome. Mashata. When we walk in the spirit, he that is in us. We are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Lese le balade kaposune in katabai. Lezo malane de tebaso balale kapasola dadesh. Lende ketebo sobolen katabala lele posobolai. Mashala balale kataboso sobole de poso sobole tekete tebalis. Mashala baba baba lele de poso sobole de. So